League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your Premier League Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. It's the first pod of the summer. I am Mark Heath. With me today, youth and experience, Alex Jones, the youth, the experience, respectfully, Stuart Watson. And friends, before we get going today, I'd like to say a little public service message. Let's all calm down, shall we? Let's take a few breaths. Count to 10. That's right. Kieran McKenna is still 10:23, Wednesday, May 22nd, Ipswich Town manager. So let's just take it down a little notch. A little notch, just take it down. Let's all calm down, friends. And let's get on with today's podcast. Clearly, we're going to talk about McKenna. We're going to take a lot of mailbag questions as well. And there's some breaking news from last night regarding McKenna. Not what you think. Good stuff as well to get started with. But first of all, let me speak to my friends. Experience, Stuart Watson, wearing a lovely little polo shirt today. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You good?
I'm not too bad, mate. I'm not too bad. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to this long summer of mass speculation and rumours and gossip we've got lying ahead of us, mate, if I'm honest. Doesn't really float my boat at all this sort of nonsense, this noise. But other than that, it's always a good time when I get to sit down with you two and talk about Ipswich Town and wider matters, especially mailbag, because I love mailbag. AJ, youth, you were up late last night. I said to you, AJ, can you pick up the LMA awards later on today? Thinking it was going to be a 7 or 8 p.m. sort of job. Ended up being about half 11.
Yeah, didn't really expect this one. Waiting around for some information that was kind of scarcely put out every few minutes. I was kind of quickly refreshing Henry Winter's Twitter because I knew he was there and posting some photos, panicking, thinking, oh my God, how long is this going to go on for? Just as you thought they were about to announce the winner of the LMA Manager of the Year. We'll wait to announce that one. They were just doing award after award after award. So it was a bit of a late one, but glad with how it ended.
For quite a big deal, let's say, those awards. They need to probably work a little bit on their social media presence, their profile, because you wouldn't have known it was happening last night if you looked at their Twitter or their website. They still had last year's winners all over it. No mention of any awards happening. So step your game up, LMA. It made things very difficult for us. It's quite selfish of you. But shall we start there, AJ? McKenna, the latest in a long line of awards he's won and will win, does the double last night at the LMA Awards. And with it, make some history. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, for starters, I think you're right in saying that it was a little bit weird that there was so little on this. It felt like a secret club. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Simpsons episode where he joins like this cult called the Stonecutters and no one really knows who they are apart from the members involved. It felt a little bit like that. But I think we all knew it was happening. We all knew that obviously he was going to be in with a shout. So the way that these awards work is that they have the divisional awards, so Championship, League One, League Two. I think that we all had a gut feeling he'd probably stand a fairly good chance of winning the Championship award. He missed out on the League One award last season to Schumacher of Plymouth Argyle, who won it for winning the league with Plymouth. Yep, fair enough. But picked it up this year. I think, yeah, fairly understandably. And the interesting one as well is that this is the only award, as far as I'm aware, where all of the managers in the Football League come up against each other and you choose the one who's achieved the most and done the best. So with that in mind, you don't really have too many that come from outside of the Premier League because it's all about the Premier League, baby. Town's last winner in this one, George Burley, 2001, last Championship manager to win it, was... oh my God, why have I forgotten his name? Chris Wilder, Sheffield United in 2019. So it's not something that comes around too often. However, this was Kieran McKenna's night, a pretty special one, knowing that you've got managers like Mikel Arteta's done incredibly well. Of course, Pep Guardiola's your league winner. He's done incredibly well with Manchester City, a chance for him to bag the double if they beat Man United in the FA Cup this weekend. But it's Kieran McKenna's award, and I think that's pretty special, is that you're looking at the elite managers, the ones who've won Champions Leagues and league titles, etc., those who've picked up huge points at the top end of the English football pyramid, and Kieran McKenna's gone and swept both the awards he was up for, so a really nice one for him. Of course, so kind of humble and accepting the award, and as well, with it being the Sir Alex Ferguson Award for the LMA Manager of the Year, was quite nice getting to see him with Sir Alex and having some nice words there. I think it must have been a really good evening for him.
Absolutely, Stewie. Lovely to see Kieran and Sir Alex with the latest awards that Kieran's won. Again, it's one of these look how far we've come sort of moments, isn't it? The idea that an Ipswich Town manager would be named best manager in the whole country ahead of genuinely acknowledged one of the greatest managers of all time, Pep Guardiola. And now we're just like, yeah, deserved.
Amazing, isn't it? I zoomed in on that picture immediately. Just seeing Kieran stood next to Sir Alex Ferguson, who would have been one of, if not his main football idol growing up. He was a big Manchester United fan, travelled over regularly from Northern Ireland with his dad to watch games at Old Trafford. That would have been at the peak of the Fergie era. Fittingly, the awards went late into the evening in Fergie time / McKenna time that we've been talking about. The same happened at the EFL Awards I attended. Few weeks back, that feels like a lifetime ago already. And then you zoom in on the award and you look at that plaque at the bottom, and it's got Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, and now Kieran McKenna etched into it. It's we keep pinching ourselves of how far we've come, and this is not normal, as Paul Lambert used to say, nay normal. Amazing, really, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy. And obviously now we have to transition, segue into what clearly I think most of you are going to be interested in us talking about, which is clearly the grimly inevitable mass slew avalanche of links between Kieran McKenna and any job in the Premier League that comes up. And particularly, obviously, he's been linked already with Manchester United. Obvious. That club continues to implode. He's got strong links there. Brighton. We kind of have talked about this for a while, being slightly worried about Brighton. And also Chelsea, since we last spoke, obviously ditched their manager after a year. He only got sixth. He's now been linked with Chelsea as well. And last night, AJ, he was actually asked, helpfully, by Sky about these links. So what did he say by way of us kicking off this big McKenna chat?
Some very Kieran McKenna things. I think for those of us who've spoken to him kind of week in, week out, this was a very Kieran McKenna answer to this question, where he's not going to want to tie himself down to anything. And that's not saying that he's not committed, but like any kind of comments that you'll have to make when you've got a microphone thrown under your nose, it's very much going to be the basics, especially considering he's going to be sat there with Mark Ashton enjoying his night and looking back on what was a brilliant season. But he was going quite big on the pathway that the club have, a positive future, a bright future ahead, stressing that the speculation's normal. It's not the first year they've had it. This happened last year as well. As Stu's mentioned before, he's been with Celtic and Leicester. And that his focus isn't on the speculation. That's the biggest takeaway from it. He's really in a reflective mood. It's been a wonderful couple of years, is what he's been saying. And it's not in his kind of mindset to be now starting to look elsewhere. So, yeah, that's the big positive to take. I don't think that there's any kind of huge sweeping conclusions that we can take away from it. But I think it was good to hear from him, seeing as I know we've had a lot of comments, we've seen a lot online saying, well, why is he not talking out about this? Why has the club not made a statement? There's so much speculation. He's the most in-demand manager in the country, et cetera, et cetera. It's easier said than done. And for him to be able to come out and say a few words about it, to say that's where his focus is. So I think that was important.
Okay. Also, that's just not the way it works, friends. If they're in the process of commenting on every bit of speculation, that's all they'd do, and it would be a complete waste of time. Watson, you are already in mid-season Premier League mode. You wrote a wonderful piece about McKenna on Monday, which if you haven't read it, go and read it. Your thoughts on all the speculation. And also, crucially, Stu, it would have been easier over the weekend for us to just lazily chuck out the fact that he was the new favourite for the Brighton job, get loads of web hits. But when we can, we like to add value. That's what we're all about here. Peek behind the curtain stuff. So we waited, and you then had time to write a really considered, thoughtful, analytical piece about McKenna links on Monday. Do you want to just bring us up to speed with what you understand in terms of the situation? So you've got all this noise this mass speculation, people jumping to all sorts of conclusions, even talking about who's going to replace him, who's lined up to come in and replace him. Not even bloody gone yet, friends. Calm down. Yeah. Brings up Specie. What do we understand as it stands Wednesday?
Yeah, latest as it stands, as we sit here on Wednesday morning. Business as usual is very much the vibe that we're getting from the club. I've checked in several times with senior figures behind the scenes from, when did this start? Middle of last week with the Manchester United mm-hmm. staff. Saturday was when the De Zerbi announcement came, heading into the final day of the Premier League season. And the feedback that I've got is Kieran's been in to work every day. He's planning for the Premier League. He's looking at transfers. The feedback from last night, Kieran was with Mark Ashton at the awards, very relaxed. What will be on this. And I know people want clarity and they're saying this isn't healthy. You can't get the clarity that you want here. You know, we talk about what can you read into Kieran's comments. He can't say anything more than that. The club aren't in a position to say there's no way that he'll leave, because if somebody meets the compensation fee in his contract, which I gather is bigger than any figure that's been put out there, I'll say that, then Kieran would have a decision to make. And you know, for reasons that we'll now discuss. And I think if he said that he wanted to talk, then I don't think the club would. You can never really put your foot down and say no, because it's not the way it works. So, but the fact of the matter is, as you said at the very top, he's Ipswich Town manager. He knows he's onto a good thing here. There's a lot of pull factors towards Ipswich, and it's, you know, until there's an offer on the table, until there's a conversation to be had, then that's the situation. But it's understandable why there's a bit of panic, a bit of worrying, because Ipswich had just gone up from League One last season, and there was a sense that there was still a long way to go in the journey, and that Kieran was only 1 year in and he didn't have a major body of work behind him at that stage. But fast forward a year and it feels a little bit different, and the types of clubs being linked all feels a little bit different. So unfortunately, that's the price of success. And we're in this little kind of no man's land period at the moment of worry. Hopefully it will, you know, we'll get some clarity sooner rather than later. And we can get through this little weird period.
Yeah, it also doesn't help, of course, we're in a dead period for football now, aren't we, for quite a period of time. After the playoff final, the FA Cup this weekend, football basically stops for a month or so until the fixtures come out, transfer window opens. So there's this dead space which has to be filled with 24/7 boring, inane, grimly predictable speculation. Have I mentioned I don't really like it? Stu, with all that said, we've long said on this podcast, we've been asked multiple times about going all the way back to even before, I think, Town won League One. Didn't win League One, came second in League One, got promoted from League One. Bit of revisionist history there.
Sorry, Plymouth.
Yeah, what happened to them? Essentially, people saying, "Oh, where do you reckon McKenna might end up if he does leave?" And you, Stu, have been consistent in your reply to that question, which has been the one club that feels like it might fit him and would worry if it came up would be Brighton and Hove Albion. And now we're in the scenario where that job is available. And as predicted, Kieran McKenna is, I think he still is, although the odds have drifted a little bit, the favourite to take that job. Do you want to talk a little bit about why Brighton's always felt like the club to you and what you think about it kind of sitting here now?
Well, I've always felt that Kieran McKenna has a plan in his mind in terms of mapping out his career in his head. From day one, he kind of said that I had an age in mind where I thought I wanted to go outright as a senior manager, having put in years of groundwork as a youth coach, as an assistant manager. And then, you know, he picked his first club very carefully. There were certain boxes that had to be ticked, and Ipswich ultimately did that. And I think he'll have an idea in his mind about the next stage, and ultimately that probably being a stepping stone to one of the big jobs, probably yeah. Manchester United, given the history that he has as a fan, as a former employee. And then you just started to look down the leagues and or at the Premier League and looking where that sweet spot might be. I still think it's probably too big a jump at this stage to go to one of the superpowers. Although maybe, you know, you start seeing him next to the number of those jobs that are available starts to concern me now. And football works in trends and everyone wants the kind of young at the moment. It's the in thing is to get these young, hungry, up and coming managers. And Kieran is very much kind of towards the top of the list of those analytics, I would have thought, when they're looking at their various data dashboards. So I did write in that piece on Monday that I didn't think sort of Manchester United and Chelsea would be ready to take that leap of faith with Kieran just yet, seeing as he's only 2 years into senior management. But if you held a gun to my head, I'm not completely convinced that that's the case. But Brighton was the one that felt like it fell in that sweet spot. I don't think he would go towards a sort of a lower end Premier League club. The risk versus reward wouldn't be worth it there. But they're further ahead in their progress than Ipswich, and that's reality. And I know I've had a lot of debate with Ipswich fans over recent days. Why would he go to Brighton? They're a smaller club. Their league position went backwards last season. There's talk of De Zerbi maybe being at loggerheads with the ownership there, etc., etc. But they are further ahead than Ipswich. They're an established Premier League club. I think this will be season number 8 in the Premier League. Their training, they've got a state-of-the-art multi-million pound training ground that opened a few years ago. Ipswich's work on that will only start this summer. Their recruitment team has obviously got it consistently right, particularly in the South American market. Ipswich have lost Sam Williams, their head of recruitment, back to Manchester United recently. I don't know what the state of play is with the recruitment team at Ipswich as it stands. So there's a decision to be made if Brighton come in for Kieran McKenna, I would say. And Vincent Kompany is probably the prime example of how you sometimes have to think when your star is shining brightest. And last summer he was being linked to Tottenham, to Chelsea. 1 year on, Burnley, instant relegation. Talk about whether he should even keep his job at Burnley. I know he's being linked to some of these clubs still, but it just shows you how reputations can change very quickly in football. And now Kieran McKenna is the one everyone's talking about and not Vincent Kompany. So that's the state of play at the moment. And we just have to wait, you know, hunker down and wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Exciting, isn't it, friends? Just one more point before we move on to AJ. You say that if Brighton come in, that's probably something else you highlight, Stu, which you put in your piece. Understand, no approach at all thus far.
No, not officially, but let's be real about this. I don't think we're breaking any trade secrets. I'm sure lots of conversations go on behind the scenes. Your people speak to my people and it's all very quiet. And you're naive if you think that suddenly the first approach to a club is when that official approach comes in from club to club. People get sounded out to see, are you interested? First of all, let's have a little quiet conversation to see if values align and all of that sort of stuff. So whether we're at that stage with Kieran, I don't know. Body language experts would probably have a field day trying to look at these various interviews and stuff. Yeah, it's really difficult to talk about all this at the moment because, as I say, we're in that little in-between period where there's not a lot that can be said officially. We're speculating. I'm really conscious that we kind of speculate in a responsible manner as well and not kind of add fuel to this panic and stress that the club have to just keep operating as usual until the moment they have something to kind of deal with. And at the moment, they don't. But as I said in that piece, as soon as that De Zerbi news broke on Saturday, it did put a little knot in my tummy because I have thought about Brighton being that sweet spot that might be the one that sort of turns Kieran's head.
You know, even as you speak, Stewie, people will be trying to read between the lines as to what you're saying. There's that much kind of fevered kind of speculation around this. AJ, then. So we've got three links, latest links. I'm sure there'll be more. depressingly, there will be more. Man United, Chelsea, Brighton. Do you want to have a say about all of those? Because here's my thought briefly. Man United, A, they've still got a manager. B, as Stewie says, I think that would be too big of a jump, too much of a risk, if you like, because that club is a bit of a mess. Chelsea, C, Man United, complete basket case of a club. Don't know why. Well, clearly there's quite a lot of reasons why you want to go there, but I don't know in terms of McKenna's personality, his thoughtful, his analytical process, whether or not you think that would be a good place to go. Brighton, as Stewie said, has long been the side, the club that we've been concerned about. But coming out of Brighton, obviously you hear that De Zerbi's left because of recruitment. He doesn't have any kind of say in recruitment. It's all done by data dashboards, which obviously was heard of. But again, for McKenna, are you going to put yourself in a situation where you're not allowed really to have a say at the players you bring in? When you're a guy who has brought in players based around a certain profile, culture, you want to build, you're going to go to a place where you're not really allowed to have a say in that? I don't know. I don't think so. But hey, let's see. What do you think about all those clubs and all of the links?
I want to touch on the Ipswich thing first before we jump into that, because I think it was interesting talking about kind of like managerial stock. And I think that although I agree with Stu's bit to an extent, I do think it's changed a little bit where you look at company, for example, who's been linked to Bayern and other managers who maybe would have been considered failures in their jobs have now, you know, they're getting linked to X, Y, Z. You look at Pochettino's left Chelsea. He's now getting linked with the Man United job. It's not necessarily one where I think it's still the same kind of thing where the reputation has a really big part to play. One of my favourite ever quotes from Pierre van Hooijdonk, which was done in 442, was if you change all the managers in the league to cats, the end of the season, one is still the champion and three are relegated. Does that mean that the champion cat is brilliant and the three relegated ones are, say, rubbish? Not quite the quote that he used, but similar.
Why have they got to be cats? I think, I understand.
Because he's insane. It was an interview in 442. He's just mental. But yeah, so I think that's an interesting kind of thing to see. And I think that that has kind of come into play a little bit more now with what you're seeing. And yeah, maybe that would be something that could play in favour of him thinking that there is still a chapter to write in the Ipswich story. Away from that, I think it's hard to argue against Stu's logic with Brighton, essentially. I think that even with the stuff that's happened between De Zerbi and Tony Bloom, I know that De Zerbi has been kind of seen as quite a hard manager to work with as well. And I think that there would be an agreement of how to come together to make that club successful if those talks happen and were to progress. So I think that would be the logical one that makes sense. But then if you're in that position and then you get Chelsea and Manchester United coming along, it's hard to kind of not have the stars in your eyes at that point. You're looking at Chelsea, a club that won the Champions League a few years ago. I do think that there are probably issues there with the ownership in terms of their understanding of how the game works. I know that there's talks of Pochettino leaving because he wanted to keep certain players at the club and the club didn't want that at all. I don't think it's purely a results-based thing there. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and you'll have the same with Manchester United, although I don't think that... I wouldn't be sure Ten Hag's going to go this summer, to be honest. I'm not necessarily certain there's going to be a vacancy there before the start of the season, at least. But you've got to factor in things like the financial side. At the end of the day, if he goes and takes a job at a top six club, that's life-changing money, and you might not always have the opportunity to do that. You never know how your career is going to pan out. It might be that you only get one shot at it. It's a chance to manage in Europe as an actual manager. This isn't him working as an assistant under someone else, as he has done in Europe before. This would be a chance to take on Chelsea in the Europa League, for example, something like that, and to be rubbing shoulders with those, the best teams in Europe, especially if things go well there. So I think that it's not as easy as saying it's X club, Y club. Why would he go there? Because the behind the scenes stuff isn't great. These are clubs that are the heavyweights in Europe. And I'm not necessarily convinced, particularly in Manchester United's case, that there will be an offer there for McKenna at this point. I think having seen what's been said about Chelsea, that's maybe a little bit more likely, but again, still not totally convinced. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't think it is as simple as just turning them down because they don't feel like the right club for you. Because at the end of the day, that chance to progress your career to what is the top level for what is going to be clubs finishing in and around Europe almost guaranteed every single season. That's so, so hard to turn down.
Yeah, but I just feel like McKenna's built slightly differently to your kind of average.
He's logical. He's intelligent. I think he'll strip all the emotion out of it, and he will literally break it down to pros and cons. Some huge pull factors for Ipswich Town. I think we really have to stress this as an Ipswich Town podcast. Yeah, in that, exactly. You know, he's onto a really special thing here, and he's adored by the fan base, by the community. You can't overlook, we talk about stripping away the emotion, but going on that open top bus parade, and I think he was blown away by 50, 60,000 people coming out and celebrating that, knowing that he's got the full support of the ownership and the chief executive. Spoke to Ed Schwartz recently, and full trust in what Ashton and McKenna are doing, rightly so. So, you know, he's been involved recently in designing the, you know, in being shown the designs for the training ground and being able to put his own stamp on that. And anything he's kind of asked for in terms of technology behind the scenes and data analysis and upgrading the gym and all that sort of stuff, you know, if he asks, he's getting giving it. And you're not necessarily going to get that at other places. So some huge sort of pull factors from Ipswich, you know. Also, I think that the history of the club with you know, pictures of Robson up in his office and the history and the shoes that he's kind of following in as well. But let's not be naive enough to go, why on earth would you go to Manchester United, or why on earth would you go to Chelsea? Just let's check yourself when you say that. Manchester United, Chelsea, big clubs. You know, let's not forget that Ipswich have just spent 4 years in League One. Yes, big ancient history, but as Gary Neville would say, it's Manchester United, you know, and for him, that's a very special club. And again, the fact that they've got an FA Cup final to play this weekend, I think kind of drags things out a little bit. I think, you know, he'll probably be waiting to see if he has got any thoughts about assessing his options, probably waiting to see how things play out there first. We've got to wait and see whether Ten Hag kind of joins this list of managers leaving. But I mean, Chelsea's an interesting one as well. Very easy, again, to say complete basket case of a football club and ownership who've made some strange decisions, fallen out with managers, etc. Graham Potter's a great example of a kind of young up-and-coming manager, big on culture and beliefs and, you know, personality-wise, I guess similar-ish to Kieran McKenna, but he got chewed up and spat out by that job. He won't have to work again if he doesn't want to, and he might not want to with the payoff that he's got. Don't think money will be a motivating factor for Kieran here. He's all no. about legacy and achievements and how far he can climb in the game. But then you look at the way Chelsea finished that season, finished the season really well. And it's a really young squad that they've assembled. And Kieran likes working with young players and improving young players and people like Cole Palmer. There's plenty there that you'd feel like you weren't taking over. Normally, when you take over a club that's just sacked their manager, i.e. Manchester United, you've got a bit of firefighting to do and problems to fix and cultural issues. Chelsea feel like they've finished the season in pretty good shape as well, and you might be able to kind of jump on that momentum a little bit. So, for and against for a lot of these clubs, no doubt about it. And I understand why everyone's bit nervous and a bit panicky at the moment.
I felt like you were telling me off then, Stu. I quite liked it. And you're saying, don't just disregard these clubs. I bloody will disregard them because that's the way I work. I'm impulsive. I speak from the heart, not for me. Let's, as we come up to half an hour then, boys, let's put our considerable testicles on this table. What's your gut telling you sitting here right now? My gut, friends, I'm quite happy to say this and I'll go on the record. I don't think McKenna's going anywhere. I'm going to say that now. What are we? 10:50, May 22nd, famous last words. But that's what my gut is telling me. I can't see him walking away from this project. Just got Man United. It's a great issue down to the Premier League. Freudian slip. It's just down to the Premier League. I can't see him then going, now, lads, I'm off. Doesn't strike me as that sort of character. I think there's more to be gained still. More to be written in this Ipswich Town story. And McKenna is not the sort of man who just abandons ship for big money, big name, etc. So I'm saying he stays. AJ, what are you saying?
My gut says the same. I think that, again, it's still not as convincing as you. I'm not set on it in the same way because things move quickly, and that Brighton job especially is also hearing Stu talk about it can sway you one way and then you think another. But gut says he stays. I don't know necessarily why. I don't know if there's any particular kind of logic about it. I just think that that's probably the way it will play out. And I think that most people would be fairly happy if he stayed, did a year in the Premier League, hopefully could give this club a real go. And then from there, the world really would be his oyster, I'd say.
Who knows what he can achieve in the Premier League? That's the thing. Mm. If he goes up to the Premier League and even keeps Town up, that enhances his star even more, doesn't it? Makes it shine even brighter.
And I don't think that a relegation, for example, we're jumping ahead a bit here, but I don't think that, okay, we'll say a poor season with Town or something ends and doesn't end the way they want it to. I don't think that's going to damage his reputation either. I know, again, we've used the company example. I don't think that there's that much that's changed in terms of his managerial profile in 12 months. And jumping ahead again a little bit here, we've seen Rob Edwards, for example, linked with other certain managerial jobs. Don't think there's much in that, to be honest. But it also shows that his stock, for example, in the space of 12 months in the relegation hasn't changed that much. And I think that that will be the same for McKenna, no matter what happens with Town next season, if he is going to stay.
Okay, right. So me and AJ are both saying stay. Now, people listening to this will know this news coming up and they'll be doing this. Oh, what are you saying, Stu? And I apologise for putting you in this situation if indeed this is making you uncomfortable.
It's
what people would want us to finish this section with, I believe. And we're for
it. It's making me uncomfortable because I think people will go, oh, Stu might, you know, talks about speaking to people at the club and this, that, and the other, and they might put more stock in this than needs be. But honestly, this is just no inside insight. This is just purely gut feel based on this. I have still got a little knot in my tummy, and I'm not saying that he will definitely go. I'm not saying he will definitely stay. I feel a little bit uncomfortable at this moment in time that there's just a lot of jobs becoming available. Typical kind of Ipswich ran into one of the biggest, most high quality League One promotion battles in years, with clubs all getting in excess of 90 points. Then they did it in the Championship. Now they've run into a summer where there's more elite clubs available than ever before. It seems to be a ridiculous managerial merry-go-round. We talk Chelsea, United, Brighton, Bayern Munich, Juventus, or it looks like they're about to appoint. Just sort of our luck, really, isn't it? That it's kind of the way it's fallen. It's not just seeing off one or two jobs, but yeah, we just got to hope. I mean, we're looking. You got Francesco Farioli is kind of high on the Brighton betting list. Is De Zerbi's former assistant, reportedly De Zerbi's kind of backing him to take over and be to succeed. So we got to hope something like that happens, and that United or Chelsea do indeed decide that maybe that McKenna's just a year or two too early for him. There is still lots of, you know, Pochettino out of work, De Zerbi out of work, Tuchel out of work, Hansi Flick out of work. So there's plenty of managers knocking about as well that, you know, hopefully, when this all stops, Ipswich has still got Kieran in place.
Yeah, right. Let's draw a line of that then. It's just over half an hour. I'm not really sure what we've actually concluded at the end of all that, but hope you've enjoyed listening to us talk about it, friends. And just remember, friends, let's just calm down. Everyone calm down. When you see something blown up on Twitter, just calm down. Take a few minutes to think about it. Consider the source. Let's not add to the noise. Let's calm down until there's something to actually talk about, shall we? Right. Let's do mailbag, shall we, friends? From the sublime to the sometimes ridiculous mailbag. AJ, would you like a football question? Or would you like a non-football question to kick us off with?
My gut says I'd like a football question.
Of course you bloody would.
30 minutes. But we've just spent 30 minutes talking about football. So let's have a non-football question. Let's calm the mood down.
That's the message, friends. Just calm
the
it
club
down.
Could put out a statement on a piece of news and you'd be saying, hold on.
No. Let's not get silly. When there's something to report, we'll do it. But in the meantime, let's just calm
down. And also, a reminder that Ipswich are a Premier League club. Whatever happens this summer, that yeah. happened, by the way. That you know, and the club is still in an incredible place. And if, and we hope he doesn't, Kieran McKenna leaves, it would be heartbreaking, it would be gut-wrenching, but the show goes on and you support the club more than anything, don't you? And very early on in this process. You know, I've asked Mark Ashton about, he's called him Mark McKenna then, that would have been strange. Mark Ashton about succession plans and whether his data dashboard includes managers as well as players. And he's always sort of diplomatically said, my job is to be ahead of the curve and you know, be ready for anything that comes. So, you know, they're not daft. They're not going to suddenly just react if something happens this summer. So I'm just sorry we can't kind of reassure people more. I know people kind of look to us at times to kind of what's happening. There's nothing to be said at the moment in time. You know, it is all up in the air, and that's just how it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do some mailbag. Let's calm down. Let's do some mailbag. Tom Baines wants to know, he says, afternoon, Kings. Ashton's gifted the four of you one of the new executive boxes to use next season. Obviously, Portman Road at the moment, a building site as they make various changes, which has been outlined. Allowed you carte blanche to decorate slash design it. What's that box looking like? Keep up the good work as always, gents. Thanks, Tom. Right, Stewie, if you have an executive box at Ipswich Town, what are you making it? What's your design theme?
Cool. What could we put in an exec box?
Shall I go first? Because I definitely know what I'd do with mine. Right. So I've got a room in my house, which is about two rooms that way, which we just call the red room, which is my man cave, essentially. It's painted a lovely deep burgundy. And in there I have my whiskey. I've got my cigars. I've got a massive telly. I've got all my sports memorabilia, signed Mike Tyson glove, etc. It's all in that room. So if I have an executive box at Ipswich Town, I'm doing a bigger version of that. I'm essentially having a cigar lounge feel, because breaking news, friends, smoking is now big and cool and clever again. So that's what I'm having. It is, Stu, all right? Very cool. So I'm having basically a cigar lounge at Portman Road, which fit the vibe, I think. And I can go in there and smoke cigars and drink whiskey with Ed Sheeran and Fabio Wardley and Mark Ashton, I suppose. So that's definitely what I'd be doing. Stu, you got any more thoughts?
A little play area in there for the kids. If I'm bringing my daughter, give her some little climbing wall over the side just to keep her out of my hair. If we're bringing the family and I want to watch the football, obviously we'll have some various beers on tap. And I like my Erdinger, my Hoegaarden. Maybe get a few of my favourites in there. How about sort of in the theme of did you ever have like the classic childhood football bedroom where you had all the posters up from Match and Shoot and
Alex maybe that.
Yeah, the harsh. The little promotion ladder, you know, where you could move the shirts absolutely up and down where they all ended up all over the floor. I might do it as like the theme of like a teenage boy's football obsessed bedroom.
With the full retro bedspread style. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, curtains, bin, everything.
Yeah, well, Alex obviously still has the Cambridge United bedspread, I'm assuming, and various pictures upon the wall from Shoot and Match still going, by the way. Because
I think so.
Because I was very much a match lad back in the day. Yeah. You had to choose, didn't you? You couldn't be both. I was very much Match. Anyway, AJ, you probably never even read either of those superb publications. Have you not?
I have.
Oh, brilliant!
I've not.
I honestly don't know if they're still.
I know of Shoot. I've not with Shoot, but yes, Match. Yeah. Mm. Yes, so unfortunately, I do still have my Mark Bonner duvet cover that I still have not been able to sell on eBay anymore.
Yeah,
no, unfortunately, I don't have one of those. That'd be quite cool, though. What would I do? Sticking with the theme of who I am, especially in the eyes of Mr. Heath here,
stats.
I would essentially, I would essentially just plaster the walls with TVs.
Oh,
and I'm just going to have games on like everywhere. From everywhere going on. So you've got the game that's there. You can follow everything that's going on. It's going to be like a VAR room.
It's got like a swivel chair.
Yeah, it's going to be just like that. We'll stick with the beer theme that Stu brought in. I also like how we've got two polar opposites from like a cigar and whiskey room and children's play area. I really hope the two are not like next to next. But yeah, it's going to look like some sort of either VAR or CCTV style room. But we'll just have a little bit of everything going on. Lots of TVs that kind of somehow managed to bypass the 3 o'clock blackout, maybe. Stuff like that. That'll go down well.
I quite like that. So you essentially want a nanny service, is what you're saying, Stu, at Portman Road. You
just
offload the kids. Why are kids always trying to get rid of them, Stu, by the way? Kids are meant to be the most wonderful thing ever. And all I know from my friends who are parents. I just need to get rid of them. I want to go out for the night without them, that kind of thing. Doesn't seem to match up, all I'm saying. Rob Hughes, sticking with the Premier League, and Portman Road theme, Stu. Have you had any inside info yet on your improved Premier League standard media facilities at Portman Road next season? What are you hoping for? So we know we're going to be Billy big time next season at Portman Road in terms of the media facilities. Do we know anything about what is required, Stu, where it's going to, because they're going to have to move it, aren't they?
Yeah, I know we're definitely getting moved. Designs are underway. I think it's going to be up towards the sort of the tunnel end rather than at the moment we're at the opposite end of that stand. I think we might be where the players' lounge currently is, and then the players will get moved back to where the media lounge is at the moment. I want to get my hands on a bit of memorabilia from the old media box as well. Just something to sort of mark that.
What would that be, if you could have anything?
I don't know.
One of Patrick's sausages.
Steady on.
One of those TVs. I know they're not there anymore. The big TVs.
Is the actual like press area in the stand going to have to move as well, Stu? Do we know? Because obviously at the moment we're right at the back of the stand.
Yes, I think so. The last I'd heard, because that is now going to be wiped out by TV gantry. There's talk of going from 6 camera points to 46 in the Premier League. So I think that will be kind of taken over by TV high in the vantage point of that stand. I know at one stage they were talking about moving the rest of the media down towards kind of either side of the director's box level. But I don't know if that's still on the cards at the moment. But I was walking past Portman Road yesterday, and it is indeed the building site that Mark Ashton said it would be. The iconic sort of Ipswich Town white lettering across the top of that stand were being taken down and given a bit of a clean. All sorts of hive of activity there at the moment. A lot being done. I'm looking forward to seeing what this new Sky TV studio being built on top of the security, glass-fronted security sort of area on top of the tunnel is going to look like. That's going to be 3 stories high with a Sky studio built on top of that, which sounds precarious.
It does.
To me. But Portman Road is going to be looking very different.
Are we going to get because obviously at the moment the kind of post-match press area is just literally like a slightly elevated table and a bunch of normal chairs. But I feel like from what I've seen of Premier League grounds, they now become like almost like an amphitheatre with like a proper kind of setup with the table and kind of proper tiered seating kind of thing. Are we going to get something like that, do you think?
I think that's being discussed, yeah. Because my experience of those is we've been to certainly some of these clubs that have been in the Premier League more recently, Leicester, Southampton and others. They have this big sort of almost mini cinema amphitheatre, as you say, with dozens of seats. And the times we've been in them, maybe you might have 10, 15 people in them and they look a bit sort of empty. And then you're only in there for sort of 10, 15 minutes or so. And what, you know, selfishly from our perspective, what you need is kind of workstations and a working area. Anything's going to be amazing, isn't it? When, you know, respectfully, and we always have to sort of put that word first. Some of the grounds and places that we've been to where there haven't even been working rooms or Wi-Fi or anything like that. It's going to be amazing.
I can guarantee something, boys, right now, and that is first game of the season. I'm going to be there. There's any sort of hint of glory, anything new, exciting, I'm rocking up and I'm disappearing for most of the rest of the season. Patrick Palmer. So if McKenna and his backroom team do leave this year and the Kings are recruited to be the new management structure, assign each King to the following role with reasons. We've got chaotic heart-on-sleeve manager, tactical genius assistant, I think we all know who that is, miserable tea lady, awestruck kit man. Again, I feel like I might know who that is as well. I'm going to say right now that I would definitely be the miserable tea lady in this scenario. I'd be the one trying to elevate the tea offering and getting annoyed that no one appreciates my perfectly brewed Earl Grey, because all they want is Lucozade Sport. Obviously, you're the tactical genius assistant, AJ. And I'd have to say that Ross feels like the all-struck kit man to me, which leaves Stu as the chaotic heart and sleeve manager, which isn't really your personality, Stu. You're definitely not chaotic or particularly heart and sleeve.
I'd flip that if it was me. I think I'd put you as the chaotic heart on sleeve manager, purely thinking about like your speeches going into Derby days and stuff like that, closing monologues. Yeah. I feel like you would be perfect doing a team talk going into it. And I feel like, in fairness, I thought we'd make a good managerial duo where I could come in and like bore them to death with how we're going to use the rotations to really push them out wide and then use the cutbacks, just like Kieran McKenna does. All those kind of different things. And you could come in and wake them up with some sort of speech from a 1980s movie and we'd
We'd be the modern day Clough and Taylor. You know, basically Taylor was like the kind of brains behind the operation and Clough was just the charismatic front man. Far be it for me to say that about me. But that's the way it'd work. I'd be the sort of manager threatening to fight players and giving great quotes in the media. You'd be the guy actually doing all the hard work, coming up with the tactics and signing the players. That would be a perfect tandem. So, yeah, I'll take that. Anything from you, Stu, on that particular?
Well, dynamic? In this scenario, I think I would be the miserable tea lady, I think. As everything crashes and burns under the managerial duo of Heath and Jones.
Yeah.
What has happened to this grand old institution that I've worked for 70 plus years?
Yeah.
My name's going to be Doris in this scenario.
Yeah. I think you look good as a Doris as well, Stu.
You never get the miserable tea lady. Whenever you always hear about, it's always the tea ladies get a lot of mentions at football clubs. Are they even a thing anymore?
I don't know.
Which need to appoint a tea lady? Does that need to be
Premier League tea lady?
Is that a Premier League minimum standard?
It's a requirement.
Yeah, you have to have that's part of Rule K that you have to appoint a tea lady.
Keep an eye on all them. By the way, do you see how many jobs Town advertised the other day? A lot of jobs going at Town at the moment. It's clearly stepping up. I haven't seen tea lady on there yet, but keep an eye on that. What should we do now? Let's stick with this theme of Kings becoming managers. From Callum Pritchett, if you Kings became managers, what would you be wearing in the dugout? Would you go full tracksuit like Sean Dyche recently, or perhaps Pep, who wears what he wants and gets away with it? Ross would be in full burgundy Adidas tracksuit, I'm guessing. I think he would.
Correct.
That's basically what Ross wears in any scenario. I can't wait for his wedding, just to see if he wears a full three-stripe tracksuit to that in burgundy. Ross definitely would be full tracksuit man. Stu, would you? You're a man who's known to have a bit of style. What would you be wearing on the?
Well,
you are, my friend.
Yes, absolute you are. Nonsense.
Don't do yourself down. What would you be wearing on the sidelines?
I'd get a suit out for sort of bigger occasions, cup finals, things like that. But day to day, I think I'd probably be sort of in that Kieran McKenna mold of sort of golf half zip ups, polo shirts. Look like I'm about to go and have a round of golf afterwards. I think that would be me.
He likes a Hugo Boss top particularly, doesn't he? Kieran, I've noticed. AJ, what do you reckon you'd be? I mean, obviously, you'd be one of the youngest managers in the history of football on the sideline. What would you be wearing?
I'm not sure. We've seen this manager that Norwich been linked with. He's 28. I mean, you're going to have teenagers doing it soon. So, I mean, geez.
Policemen are getting younger these days, aren't they? one of those.
What would you be wearing, AJ?
I'd go down the club tracksuit.
Yeah.
Because that is free kit, isn't it? And it's nice also how you get your initials on it.
Before
the
club AJ, shop.
Like, yes, the K. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go through. I'd pick different things out. I remember that when I was covering Cambridge, there'd always be like, you'd look towards what Mark Bonner was wearing. Oh, that's going to be coming in the shop soon. You'd have this like trademark gilet, stuff like that. Like, I had friends who were getting in contact with the shop. Being like, when's this coming out? So stuff like that would be nice.
Gilet bring gives out, me bring flashbacks out you. To Paul Hurst, I'm afraid.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, bring out the beanie, the club branded beanie when it gets cold, stuff like that. Just deck out pure pride.
There's a great story about Paul Warren when he took over at Derby. He basically went mental in the club shop and literally just walked in and went, I'll have one of everything. And completely togged himself up with everything they'd got in the club shop. Me, I would obviously, because I'm a narcissistic show off, I would be wearing full three piece on the sideline. I'd probably even go four piece suit if I'm honest. I'd create a new suit for it. I'm not sure how practical that would be on the sideline, but I wouldn't have to worry really about doing the tactics, would I, AJ? Because I'd have you doing all that. I'd just stand there trying to look good.
Again, that kind of balance as well, having like the tactical tracksuit style coach in the background and the suave, like top hatted manager stood out front.
If Kieran does go, do you think they might consider us? I mean, I have done a podcast on Ipswich Town for 7 years, and you've taken several courses in football stats.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a nice little balance that we've got.
And I think it is.
You don't see too many duos these days. You have the Cowley brothers. That's kind of it, isn't it?
Stewie, Amber Redden wants to know, what's the most stressful part of your job apart from deadlines?
I guess like this current period at the moment is this kind of never being able to kind of switch off with this job. You kind of, even when you're off, you're on because of social media. It's just trying to, yeah, really difficult to amount of times my wife was like, just put your phone down. It's difficult, but yeah, that sort of constantly sort of being out somewhere or being on holiday and then having to take phone calls, make phone calls, try and be on top of things all the time. That's probably the difficult part.
I'd 100% agree with that. I really struggle to switch off at any point because the phone is always there, isn't it? And it's always, maybe I should just turn it off, but I feel like I might have some sort of medical incident if I turn my phone off. AJ, how about you? You've done the job for a little bit less time, but what do you find the most stressful part of it?
Yeah, I'd also probably agree with that, seeing as I seem to be the one who's like, something will come out of it. I'll be in the chat going, yes, Amari Hutchinson's been linked to 14 clubs this morning.
Yeah.
So depending on those things. So also finding it hard to switch off. This is going to be my reminder to book holiday from now. So yeah, that would be one of them. I also think, in fairness, maybe what people, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree with this because you've done it for a while, but daily newspapers and having to come up with stuff on like a daily basis is quite kind of intensive. You always got to think, oh, what are we going to do for the back? What are we going to do for the spread? What are we going to do through the day? What are we going to... It's quite kind of like a constant thing, which I was working on a weekly before coming here. So it's an interesting shift.
Welcome to the hamster wheel of news, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
It never, ever stops. And Sue, that was perfect timing because I heard your phone go off there. That wasn't a breaking news story, was it?
No.
Important. You don't need to step into a different room and take it.
Excellent. No, it's all good.
Excellent. Sam James wants to know, just because I need some distraction from the McKenna debate. Thank you, Sam. Following the fake Burgess, I don't know what this is. Which present or past town style would you like to be the lookalike of? What's the fake Burgess, first of all? Do we know?
Seen this video?
Someone masquerade? No, I haven't.
Right, so this is, I will put this on in our chat once we've finished recording this, but this is the video from the promotion celebrations where some of the players are walking down the steps at, what is the Riverside bar, Stu?
Isaac's.
They're walking down there. Some of the players are coming down, and down comes a man who looks quite a lot like Cameron Burgess. And they try and call him over. I think they're saying, oh, get Axel. And he comes over to look at them through the window. And the people outside, it slowly dawns on them, this is not Cameron Burgess. And there's this kind of this silence where someone goes, you're not Burgess, you're a fake Burgess. which this video has now, gone fairly viral. It is quite funny. And I think it actually turns out that the fake Burgess is Harry Clark's brother as well. So there you go.
Okay, fully explained. Right, Sam, if I could choose anyone past or present to be lookalike of, I'd take Matt Holland. And not because I particularly want to look like Matt Holland, although he's a dashing, handsome, attractive man. Mainly because he seems to be aging in reverse. And I'm at that point in my life now, friends, where I'm being forced to address the uncomfortable truth that I'm getting older. I'm seeing grey hair in my beard. I've got hairs in my ears. Use the code KOA at manscaped.com for that weed whacker, if that's your problem. So again, being something of a narcissistic individual, having to confront my own aging, inexorable aging process, is, I'm finding, somewhat depressing. So in that case, I'd like to be Matt Holland, because I think I could then Benjamin Button it and end up looking better at 75 than I do or I did at 20. Although, to be honest, at 20 I look like a complete shambles. Stewie, how about you? You've spent a lot of time interviewing town stars over the past few years. Is there one you thought, God, I wouldn't mind looking like you handsome devil?
Who shall I pick? Shall I pick someone with luscious locks, just so I can experience having hair again? Who falls into that category?
Jimmy Bullard.
Would I want to be Jimmy Bullard's lookalike?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually. Who
I was thinking Wes Burns pre-haircut was the first one that came to
mind.
Bilal Mosny.
Get a bit of height on my side as well.
6'5", double R bastard, yeah.
Yeah, can I just stay as me?
I suppose.
I'm trying to think. There'd be loads. Alex, all of them essentially, because they're elite athletes and I'm not, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Stu's saying all of them. I'm saying Matt Holland. AJ, have you got any thoughts?
Give me a bit more height as someone that stands at Connor Chaplin level 5'6". I don't know. I was originally thinking that, oh, you could have the key for more height. But then I remember talking to him for the first time. He had to duck to get through the door. So maybe that would be kind of a little bit problematic. I'm not sure. There's something about Vaz that just, I know that I'm going to say it screams smooth and slick. There's something about him. So I'll take... Also, you know what? He's got the height there as well. So I'll take Vaz in this one.
Taking Vaz. Who is the best-looking Town player in recent times? It's got to be Luke Chambers, isn't it, when you say, boys? Yeah. Don't all speak at once.
Silence.
when you're looking at me going, he's off on another tangent again. Let's just not say anything and hope he moves on. All right, fine. I'll move on. Where should we go next? FPL Tractor wants to know, with Usyk now undisputed heavyweight champion, what a fight that was, by the way. Which other things in sport happen a lot less than they really should do? So, Oleksandr Usyk dethroned. Well, he didn't really dethrone him because he already had three of the belts. Took Tyson Fury's extra belt. Is now the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. First one in 25 years in boxing, which is nonsense. But what a fight it was. And what a champion Oleksandr Usyk is. A face the sport deserves to carry it forward. What happens, though? Just like that, not as often as it should do in sport. I've got one straight away. I'm saying people retiring at the right time. That doesn't happen enough in sport. Too many people go on for too long, especially in boxing, and completely tarnish their legacies. But you see it with all sorts of athletes who push it past the point of no return and on the downslope. And I can see why they do it, because obviously it's a drug. You're kind of addicted to it. But it is sad quite often. You see the true greats of a sport not call it quits at the top. And it must be such a difficult scenario to do it in, but it happens so often. We see people go on longer than they should do, so that would definitely be one for me. Anything from you boys?
Do I do it? Managers staying at their clubs at the right time, before, not jumping ship when maybe doesn't seem like to be the right thing to do.
Yeah,
making sure they stay put in an environment that feels safe and that they can develop, maybe continue to grow in the right way. That's what I'll go with. Let's see a bit more of that.
Excellent. The other thing I would say in sport generally, and it's particularly a problem in football, is players, athletes, saying what they think instead of just trotting out cliches. Let's go back a few years, shall we, to the likes of Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and people like that, who actually had things to say that were interesting. Brian Clough.
Joey Barton does that as well.
Not Joey Barton. No.
There's a fine line somewhere around it.
Not Joey Barton. Have you got anything to say on this particular subject, Stu?
I'm inspired by what you're talking about. Player testimonials. You don't see those anymore. You used to have them, right? Every summer, there'd be someone that would get some sort of 10-year testimonial at a club. Football's so transient now. It doesn't seem to happen, does it?
Correct. Right, a couple more. James Cummins, this is an easy one, light-hearted one. He says, what concerns me, Mark Heath Moore, asking for increased funds from EADT Cognoscenti, wonderful word, James, I like that, for Ipswich's future foray into Europe, or B, the prospect of Roscoe driving them to games on the German autobahns? All right, first of all, what really worries me about asking for more money for pre-season trips will be when the inevitable American pre-season trips start happening, because that's going to really need some extra bunts.
Got mentioned. Mark Ashton mentioned it. Said we thought long and hard about it, but this year we've gone for Austria. But
yeah,
it's coming. So start saving those pennies.
But obviously, the correct answer is B, the prospect of Ross driving me anywhere, particularly on an autobahn in Germany where there is no speed limit. I would have to be fully Mr. Teed to get into a car with Ross. Someone would have to put some sort of tranquilizer into my drink. That's the only way I'm getting the car with Ross. Let me tell you right now. But of course, we don't have that problem because he doesn't seem to be bothered about passing his test. So there we go. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Right. Dan wants to know, Stu, there has to be a better way to manage the managerial merry-go-round. I personally think there should be a televised competition like The Voice, where clubs listen to prospective managers pitching and the first one to hit their button gets them for the season. How would you do it? Let's turn the managerial merry-go-round into a reality show, Stu. How would you do it?
Yeah, politicians debate or stood at their lecterns and they can kind of debate and bounce off each other and then they get picked. Yeah, we get a bunch of clubs who've got no manager, a bunch of out of work managers. Just sort it out that way.
Why don't we do Big Brother? full-on Big Brother. So Chelsea need a new manager. Let's get 10 of the most predictable candidates, whack them into a house, live stream it for 2 weeks, and then the fans pick the winner.
Mm-hmm.
That's the obvious way of doing it. And also then you get to see fights. You get to see people crying in the diary room. That kind of thing.
Like some sort of traitor style game aspect to it as well. And just chuck that in as well, just to see how they deal tactically with things as well.
This is an aside, but I think Kieran McKenna would be excellent on traitors. Got real poker.
Would he be a good traitor?
I think he'd be an outstanding traitor.
Why are we bringing this topic up, given the given the first half an hour of this podcast? How good his poker face is, dearly.
Exactly. Please don't clip that up anyway.
Yeah, someone's going to clip it. He'd be an outstanding traitor.
Yeah, it needs to be in context, friends. Anyway, where are we going now? We've got questions about the squad. Shall we take them as a way of ending this? Reese Curtis wants to know, what positions do we need to look at recruiting for? For me, maybe new goalkeeper. Pladke and Walton contracts both expire. Centre-back with Premier League experience. Centre-mid with Premier League experience. And a striker with Premier League experience. So basically an entire new squad, Reese, is what you're saying. I'd like to see us take a chance on Burrows at Peterborough, good backup to Leaf. Right then, AJ. You watch more football than is often, I think, physically possible. Where do you think Town need to be looking? I appreciate we're now jumping forward into the Premier League. But what do you reckon?
Everywhere, basically. I think that there needs to be an idea of either strengthening or adding depth in every single position. You guys don't know this, but quietly, whenever a name jumps to mind, I jot it down in a little list.
Wow. Out there. That's a hell of a list.
It's a hell of a list, isn't it? So there's always some ones there where I'm like, oh, you know, if they went down that route, could they go for someone like that? We obviously do pieces on that. I think that without going into too many specifics, I think the Championship has a lot of value when you look at the top end of the Championship, when you look at players that have been shining at teams that maybe haven't reached the top six or haven't got promoted yet. There's so many to go through. Pains me to say it, the one that was mentioned there, Harrison Burrows, like him a lot. Big step up if he was going to do it. Scores lots of goals, gets lots of assists. Definitely if he was going to be moving to Town. Also knowing how hard a bargain Darren McAntony drives with transfers, as we know with the Jack Taylor one, I think that would be a tricky one, but I'd like to see him loaned out lower. I think there is a move on the cards for him in the summer. Foreign markets, again, one that would be interesting to see whether they go and explore. It's not that they haven't been looking at it, as Mark Ashton said, but it's finding the right player and the right deal. There will be ones out there for sure, because you can't purely shop in the English window, I'd say, especially when coming into the Premier League, as we've seen even with Luton exploring those kind of markets there as well. But yeah, I think there's a lot of variety to have there in terms of positions. It's hard to pinpoint because you're going to want things like a potentially a proven Premier League striker. Yeah, I mean, they're obviously going to hopefully try and get Amari Hutchinson back. They might try and get another midfielder, look who can add some depth alongside Sam Morsey, proven centre-backs. Maybe some extra depth at right-back with Harry Clark recovering from a lengthy surgery. We'll have to wait and see how long he's going to be out for. But pretty much looking through it, you can argue that you could look at players for every position, to be honest.
Right then, let's move this on in a kind of different way, Stu, and it's a kind of different approach to the same question. Matthew Casburn, who knocked on my door recently, oddly, out of the blue. Good to see you, Matt. Realistically, who do you think can make the step up in the current squad? How many signings do each of you predict before the window slams shuts? Great work, great podcast. Keep up the good work, gents. Thank you, Matt. So, Stu, the easy thing to do is look at Ipswich Town squad and say, God, they need to buy God knows how many new players. But clearly, we've talked about this before. They can't go out and just blow the squad, because one of the main strengths of the squad, the underpinning thing that has taken behind this remarkable ascent of Ipswich Town, has been that camaraderie, that balance in the squad. And you can't then bring in 10 new players or on massive wages, because that's going to completely throw that off kilter. You surely want to keep that that band of brothers feel, which would be thrown off. So what do you think about all this?
Put a number on it. 6 to 8 signings is what I've got kind of there. You're talking about a 25-man squad is the limit, not including under-21s. But obviously there's 5 loan players that that need replacing. I know there's a lot of talk about the positions that were just mentioned being through the spine of the team, but fullback looks really light. It's only really Davis and Clark that are the sort of the fit fullback options, really. So given the athleticism that's required in those positions, the higher up you go, I think that, you know, they'll need some strengthening there as well. But as Alex says, it's not like the entire first team needs replacing, but you could argue that we talked about the analogy of the water rising and improving sort of from you know, just providing competition throughout. I mean, striker, really, I think George Hurst is a player capable of stepping up to the Premier League, but I think, you know, he'll need someone to really compete with him. You could go through the whole way through that team and just say a bit of healthy competition to push these guys, not necessarily sort of oust them all out of the starting 11, but yeah, some work to do this summer for sure.
Striker's the obvious one, isn't it? And it's always the sexiest one, because obviously stepping up into the Premier League, you need goals. You're going to win, get draws, you need goals. So a proven Premier League striker, cliche alert, is definitely on the list, you'd imagine. And just one more question. It's not really a question so much. It's just a shout out for Craig Evans, who says, I listen to the pods while running, so give me a shout out. Consider yourself duly shouted out, Craig. He did ask how your role is impacted by Town's promotion. But I think we've probably already covered that, unless you can think of any other ways, Stewie, that your role is going to be impacted by promotion.
We're getting to go to some nicer grounds. This is the first thing. I'm sure the hospitality and stuff will be better, so that would be nice. In terms of how it affects us day to day, obviously there's a lot more media coverage and interest in Ipswich Town, and you know, in terms of sort of trying to get transfer exclusives and things like that, it's a more competitive market. But overall, not massively. When you hear sort of Kieran McKenna gets talked about, he always sort of balks at, well, you know, now you're the manager. What's that different to being, you've been assistant manager before and you've been a youth team manager? And he kind of sort of shrugs it off and says, well, the principles, the basis of the job doesn't change. And that's the same for us, really. We still try and do things objectively, responsibly, multi-sourced, all of the sort of qualities that we've tried to put into this job over a period of time remain the same.
Exactly, Stu. Brilliant way to answer that question. Right, and friends, that brings us to the end of Mailbag. We've done just over an hour of podcast, which feels like a good place to start winding this up. I've got one more question for you, though, boys, before we bring this to a close. And that's this. Who do you want to win the playoff final this weekend? Leeds, Southampton. Who do you want to join Ipswich Town in the Premier League? Or perhaps more accurately, who do we not want to join Ipswich Town in the Premier League? AJ, straight away, is all over this question. Yeah. Take it away.
It's been a lot of kind of pros and cons each way with this one. But I would like to take Southampton in the Premier League. And one of the big reasons for that, I'm not going to go through my whole list, my mental list.
Have you got them on your phone as well?
Yeah, I've jotted them down somewhere. My mental list is basically because Town did the double over Southampton last season. They took 6 points from those two games. So that's got to count for something. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't massively enjoy either game against Leeds because Town lost both and I was quite ill. And Elland Road's a long way up north and cold. Yeah, so I'll take Southampton. And also, I'll mention as well, Southampton's press food was very good, and I would like to go back there.
Excellent. Stu, have you got any feelings? I agree, I must say, with AJ. Not for the same reasons, just because Leeds stay in the Championship. Got to sell off the family jewels, didn't they? And that means Town signed Crescencio Somerville in my perfect scenario.
No, I can't see that happening. It'd be, I think, some bigger suitors for him. To give the flip side of the argument, I'd agree that probably Ipswich have got a better chance of finishing above Southampton than they have Leeds. But to give the counter argument, I think if Leeds went up, Ipswich might be able to pick up one or two players from Southampton would be the flip side of that. A lot of talk about Taylor Harwood-Bellis, whether that deal gets made permanent only if Southampton go up from Manchester City, and whether Ipswich might be able to swoop if that's not the case. I know the way Flynn Downes exited Ipswich has split opinion with a few, but I think I'd love to see him back. Flynn, I thought he absolutely bossed the game at Portman Road. The games I've seen of him recently, he's looked really good. Even, you know, we're talking about maybe needing a right back. Kyle Walker-Peters, you know, I think is someone that Kieran McKenna coached at Tottenham at a younger age. So, you know, you can pick out two or three players at Southampton that Ipswich maybe might be able to pick from the wreckage if they didn't go up. But ultimately, if we're talking about competition next season, I guess Southampton going up would be more preferable, that side of things.
Flynn Downes and Sam Morsey in midfield would be quite tasty, wouldn't it, in the Premier League? That'd be interesting. Anything else to mention then, friends, before I do my shambolic outro and we can crack on with our, what day is it, Wednesday?
I've written about stats. Go read what I wrote about stats.
Oh, you really have written about stats. Really, oh, yes. Have written, yes, about stats.
Mark went through and put all the key terms in bold before it went live, which I quite liked.
I wanted people to see just how many stats you'd
written about. Madness I'd come out with, yeah.
Some of them.
Genuinely, like,
what was the shot-ending high turnover? What the shot-ending high turnover is that?
Well, I explained it and then you got it.
So, I did get it, to be fair.
There you go.
There we go then. Go and read that. I know obviously stats will split opinion, but if you're that way inclined, I think it's a really interesting read. So go and give that a look. Stu, anything from you before we take our leave?
No other business.
Excellent. All right then, friends, just a reminder then, support our sponsors, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery and all that excellent stuff, particularly if, like me, you're now having to tackle the aging problems of ear hair and nose hair. There's a thing at Manscaped you can use for that. It's called the Weed Whacker. Go and get yourself one. I've got two, just saying. And also, friends, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts. Follow us across all our social medias, Kings of Anglia on YouTube, Instagram, X, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. I think that's all of them. I think I've got all of them. And in terms of this podcast, as I said, we'll probably do one a week during the summer, I'd imagine. A lot of opportunity to get your questions in. And obviously, we'll be back when there's things to talk about. But if there's one thing I can leave you to think about as we head off this week, friends, and into the weekend, it's just this. Let's all calm down, shall we? Let's all calm down. Let's just try and enjoy this. Let's just calm down. We'll speak to you next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.